name still new to me, my teeth and lips not used to it, and read to her from a fat book of poems I fished from the stroller's blue pouch. She looked at me so gravely, I thought, her tiny lashes feathering the air and softening the tumble of syllables upon her. Those words were gifts, the husks of seeds already falling, and her eyes, they gave back leaves, wings, the lighting sky, the warm brown earth, the stilling wonder of naming.
This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. Our program is produced by Forest Woods Media Productions. Post-production by Mike Turpin, MET Studios. We wish to thank the Library of Congress for making the program possible. Funding is provided by the Sinipet Fund, Rivada Foundation, Sandy Jackson Cohen. Our engineer is Mike Turpin. I'm Grace Cavalieri.
I'm Mr. KBOO.FM. Them should know it's accurate. Kabaka Pyramid say, watch your step, you know what I mean?
Andy Wawo looks a scream. Animal now, whoa. Andy Wawo, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland, the show where artists talk about their work. I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying this program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text the letters KBOO to the number 44321. Thanks very much. My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Marjorie Ridgway and Jamie Cathy. Marjorie has opened a new gallery called Ridgway Studio and Gallery, which is in Northwest Portland at 1720 Northwest Lovejoy, Suite 101. And Jamie is a collage artist. Marjorie also shows her own paintings and jewelry in the gallery. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Marjorie.
Thanks for having me.
So you've got one of these active space units that are very small.
Yes.
Very basic. It's a cube.
Yes.
With a desk.
It's just over 200 square feet.
And some nice windows. We're at 17th and Lovejoy.
Correct.
So you've got this white cube gallery and you're using it to show your own paintings. Then you've got your own vintage jewelry that you make. And then you've got prints, cards, scarves. And you're going to have a monthly first Thursday debut for an artist. And this month it happens to be Jamie Cathy. Let's talk about why you set up a gallery, and then we'll look at some of your art.
Well, I've always wanted to have my own gallery space. With submission prices and just time in general, I thought it would make the most sense financially to have my own space, so I wouldn't have to go to shows all the time. But this would also be a great opportunity for me to share the space with another artist in an affordable way. So,
you've been painting your own acrylics for a while. The ones you're showing this month, which is July, are...
Yes, it's the Emotive series.
Emotive series. Uh-huh. So they're acrylics, mostly sort of 2 by 3 feet. Some of them are bigger, maybe 4 by 2 or 3 feet. They're abstract. They use a similar technique. You have a kind of a wash style of blended colors that tend to be pastel-y because you use a lot of white on top of colors. And then you have these, on top of that, you have imagery, either hand-painted circles or letters, and they're kind of exploded out. It's as though the letters are flying through the air. It's kind of cosmic. And you do have a bit of collage in some of your new ones. Tell me about this one. It's called Move Me. It's sort of pink and blue in the middle. It's got white streaks down the side. You've got a lot of these peach colored circles, some are white. And you have these black letters that are kind of roughly printed on, an L, a Z, a P, and then a few in white too.
Mm-hmm. So I use a combination of abstract painting, and I layer my paint using the darker colors first, and then I go over the top with the lighter colors just to give it some depth and some texture. And in this particular piece, I have the circles floating around just to kind of denote movement, a little bit of chaos. There was a lot going on in my life at that time. And I also use a combination of vintage wood and metal type to get the letters textured that way.
So this is like type from letterpress?
Yes.
Where do you get that?
Antique stores and estate sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're out there collecting things that maybe will work in your paintings.
Yes.
You say it's the emotive series. This one's called Move Me. What does that mean exactly?
Things were happening in my life where I basically had to make a move. Instead of sitting in some place where I was unhappy, I made the move to get out of that situation, and it was all for the better.
Mm-hmm. This is 2020, so it's also COVID.
Yes.
And you were working as well.
So I was.
What was your life like? Work, paint?
Basically, I go to work all day and then come home and just paint. Obviously cook dinner and hang out with my partner. But that was pretty much our lives at the time. We would just work and come home. So I had a lot of downtime to be able to create.
And so you painted these paintings. I suggest they're like songs. You get one feeling and then you work on a painting for a week and get that piece done, and you give it a very clear title.
Yes.
There's one up here called Rise. It's mostly pink, has a sort of yoni type red V shape in the middle.
Yes.
And then again, all these, it's pink, white, yellow, gold, and then you've got these red circles, and again, the crazy type sort of floating in the air. Mm-hmm. Different size letters, a big P, a small U, a big L. It's similar to Move Me in that there's a lot of action.
Yes.
What was going on when you made Rise?
That's definitely a more positive piece. I was really happy with my life at the time. I'm really happy with my partner. So yeah, it just denotes a lot of happiness and rising above a lot of stuff that had happened previously that was quite dark. So I wanted something that was in stark contrast to that.
Mm-hmm. So you make these paintings for yourself, really? They're kind of cathartic?
They're very cathartic. It's very therapeutic to create this way. And one of my main goals as an artist is to make sure my pieces are very relatable. And I feel like in the abstract realm, focusing on emotions, everyone can relate to emotions because we all have them. So I really hope that everybody finds a piece that speaks to them.
Also in the gallery, you sell cards and prints. So you're about accessibility in terms of price too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, these pieces are like $350, $650. These are originals that you'll sell. What have you got around the gallery that you think people will go for?
I do create a lot of prints. I want to make sure that art is accessible and affordable to people. So I have prints anywhere between the $30 and $80 range. And I also have a wide selection of greeting cards as well.
Is this your art, the greeting cards?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you've got a series of women's faces. They have this thick black and white hair, often bangs, bows, shades, you know, flowers in the hair. They're very simple, just a woman's face in the middle of a white card. But then next to that, you have these more, you know, these more psychedelic ones, multicolored, flowing landscapes, flowers. This is all you.
Yes, yes. And I grew up in Alaska, so I'm definitely inspired by mountains and really vast landscapes.
What's the goal with making greeting cards?
Greeting cards are a great way to reach out to people. I know so many people that still love to purchase cards and send them to people. And these are all blank on the inside, so they're not specific to any holiday or occasion. And it's just nice to spread a little cheer in the mail. Something that also picked up during the pandemic when we couldn't travel and see our loved ones. So this was a great way to communicate with everyone.
Mm-hmm. So Marjorie, you also have a rack of fine art prints. These are inkjet on archival paper, and they're versions of your paintings, but also of your more graphic art.
Yes.
You do with pen and pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
You also do pattern making, is that right? You sell digital patterns online?
Yes.
So I've met people who do this before. There's like an almost infinite market out there for original patterns.
There is. It's kind of overwhelming. There's a lot of options for patterns, whether it's prints or wall art, wallpaper, scarves, fabric, gift wrap. Mm-hmm. There's so many options.
I mean, it's just amazing. It's like a totally different headspace, right? You sit down and you know you're going to make something that isn't a focal point of art. It's a kind of a background, really, or it's to be repeated.
Yes.
It doesn't really have an end.
Mm-mm.
How do you do that? Is that all computer work?
A lot of my illustrations start out with pen to paper. I've been doing more digital illustration using Procreate and repeating patterns that way.
What's Procreate?
It's an application that you can get for the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can draw directly on the iPad. And then you can even, there's even a way to repeat the patterns as well.
So if you drew something, but it's very kind of hand-drawn and you wanted to make it look geometric or, you know, almost computery, could it adapt it for you?
Yes. You can do it either in Photoshop or in Procreate. You can upload the image and then go over it again so it's a lot more crisp. And then you can change the lines and the angles and the colors.
Mm-hmm.
You can do pretty much anything.
What happens to these patterns? People buy them by the yard?
Some people buy them by the yard. I upload my designs to Spoonflower, and you can buy any of my patterns on fabric, but they also offer wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
They do removable wallpaper. They also do curtains and duvet covers. They've really expanded their selection.
So you have nothing to do with the manufacturer?
No.
Or the production?
Mm-mm.
Somebody likes your print and says, I want them in pajamas or a bedspread.
Yeah.
Someone else takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a little commission or you get
they have a set royalty rate based on the product.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you do that kind of work? Is that a lot of like hunched over a computer?
It's a lot of computer work, but I try to do just a little bit at a time every day just to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. But it's an actual money maker?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Out of all your products, what do you think is the most lucrative?
Probably my paintings. The original paintings are still probably the number one seller for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that are the art prints.
You have to sustain this little 200 square foot gallery from now on. Is it totally dependent on selling the work?
It is. It's dependent on selling the work and just me being creative with my marketing and getting the word out. I've only been open for a month so far, but the response has been wonderful. Neighbors and the community, they've just been welcoming and so supportive.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to do First Thursdays, right? I mean, this will have passed by then. Today's July the 6th. You'll have one in August.
Yes.
What's the attraction for people to come down here, which is, you know, several blocks away from the other galleries? What would they come here for?
I would like to focus on emerging and mid-career artists.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someone that's been working full-time and is really passionate about their craft, but maybe they don't have enough pieces to get into a full-size gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Or even any of the other contemporary art galleries, maybe their art's not a good fit. So I just want to make sure that like the space is welcome to those kinds of artists and designers.
Mm-hmm.
I have Jamie, she's a collage artist. My art will be up for August, featuring some new paintings. I have a couple other pen and ink illustrators coming up, as well as another acrylic painter, and then another collage artist later on in the year. So
what's your network? How do you find these? How are you going to find 12 people in a row?
I do have a form available online on my website, so anyone is welcome to apply for First Thursdays. Currently, we're booked through December of this year. But 2024 is wide open.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult to run a gallery? I mean, it's a lot of admin, right? It takes you away from art making. It takes you away from day job, family, whatever.
Yes. It's a lot of work. It is a lot of admin. It's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. And right now it's just me. I do all of my own merchandising. I purchase all of my supplies, fixtures. I get all the prints done. So mm-hmm. I do everything from A to Z.
That's pretty amazing. Do you have a set of programs that you use for all this commerce?
I have a couple. The website that I have for my art is through Shopify. So I use that, and then I just have my own organizational system to mm-hmm. keep everything straight.
Well, I mean, technology has changed so much that it is easy now to buy mm-hmm. and sell things, make things. Someone comes in, just waves their card over mm-hmm. a reader. You know, you could be anywhere in the street. The fact that you're in here doing a gallery, is that going to change the way you make art?
I think so. I mean, it already has. I've been able to make more art since I've moved in, just to have this little studio space.
Could you make art in here?
I do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What, behind that cupboard?
Just right here on my desk.
Okay. Do you paint?
I do. I've been doing a lot of smaller paintings.
Well, if there was a young artist listening or an aspiring artist listening, mm-hmm. what kind of advice would you give them for finding... getting out of their space and into selling, you know?
I would say just keep creating from your heart, keep creating for you. I understand that there's a lot of artists such as myself that take commissions from others, but at the same time you have to stay true to yourself. So just keep creating for you and your artistic voice will come through and that will make your art successful.
And you're dealing with that abstraction, but you're trying to make it accessible so that when people look at the painting, they know how to respond.
Yes. Yes, they find it relatable. It evokes a response from them, whether it's pure happiness. I've been getting that response a lot when people come in. They just love how cheerful and vibrant and colorful it is in here. So, and that's my goal. I want to make the world happy and cheerful.
Thanks. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are painter and gallerist Marjorie Ridgway, who runs Ridgway Studio and Gallery in Northwest Portland, and collage artist Jamie Cathy. Jamie, you are trained in watercolors and in mixed media, but you've switched to analog collage fairly recently, and that means you old school cut out things from magazines and stick them on paper, basically, on top of each other. Why did you make the shift?
Well, what started on the collage was I took a class by a local collage artist who is an artist as her livelihood.
Who's that?
Her name is MJ Connors Davison, and she's here in Portland, and she's just a wonderful artist and has mentored me in a way, turned into a friendship. And after my mother passed away, I had been going through art therapy with a psychotherapist who does art therapy. So she told me about, I call her MJ for short, she goes by MJ Connors Davison's class. So I attended MJ's class that she held in her studio with a few other folks. And it was all day workshop on collage, and she has her own teaching style of using golden means proportions and also sacred geometry shapes, which I was interested in before, so it really spoke to me. So that's how I started, and it helped me through expressing, emoting, and healing a lot of grief mm-hmm. that I was going through over my mom. And, you know, COVID, this was in late 2021 when she held the workshop, and I was going through therapy as well.
Let's look at some of the pieces. There's one here called Mother Strength, 2022. All these collages have a kind of central focus, a great composition that the center is very important. They all have a distinct color palette, and some of them are very analog in that you leave the tear marks on the edge of the paper. Some are a bit more cuts, really. But this one, Mother Strength, it's a woman's body. She's wearing a gold dress with this brown kind of canvas, sort of upside down U-shaped protective thing. And then you cut to another woman's body from the waist down. She's wearing a white sort of lacy dress, and she has a kid's legs around her waist, like she's got a kid on her back. So the woman up top has bare arms. Next to her arms are little silver dumbbells. Above her are three heads, like black mannequin silhouette heads. Above that is the full moon. And then there are other images around: a disco ball, sky that could be desert floor, and rocks in the background. What is Mother Strength about?
This was a real intuitive piece. I felt that I was working through some frustrations that day about being supportive to my own daughter, who is an adult, and the foundational starts at the bottom with the rocks, just pulling out all the different, I guess, players in a mother's identity with being strong and trying to foresee the future. That's what's represented by the outreached hands that are glowing, reflecting off the moon, mm-hmm. lunar effect, which I follow daily because I follow astrology, so that's coming through. And then just the solid canvas over the gold lame, shining heart, to be strong for your child, carrying your child, and then having that canvas protection for the woman herself. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that support to be a guide for your children.
So what happened to you that the roles were reversed with your daughter?
I had a brain hemorrhage in December of 2018, and it was pretty severe, where I was hospitalized for about 6.5 weeks in a rehab part of the hospital here in Portland. And so recovering from having to learn how to walk because I was paralyzed on one half of my body, and had my daughter come in and bathe me every other day once I was allowed to be bathed. So I started from ICU to another floor to rehab. In this process, she was there every step of the way, and so the tables were kind of turned. I didn't feel old in my mind, and cognitively I was not that affected, I guess you could say. I mean, I was, but just having her there as a support to me meant everything. And as someone who is getting older and is going to be an elder someday, I'm 62, so you can see how your children do have thoughts of someday having to, the responsibility of taking care of their elder parents is a huge thing that maybe they worry about. And I know my daughter told me that she was concerned about me as an older person someday, and that she wanted to be there for me. So that's where that was coming from, that particular day.
So you have a strong feeling, you pore over your imagery, and you start building a kind of surreal image based on how you're feeling.
Yes.
But you don't plan every bit, like the meaning evolves. So the three kind of heads in the background, mm-hmm. you weren't thinking about that at the time.
No, I just liked the image. And I think that was my second image after the gold MA model. I chopped off her head. She was a magazine, high fashion model in a magazine. So I cut her head off. And then the second image was the moon with the two no-faced mannequins. And that third one is that's actually like a bug, some kind of a bug's head, mm-hmm. that I put there because of the triad number of three. Just
mm-hmm. I thought it was a bed knob.
Meaningful to me.
Over here you've got a couple more. One is called Neighbors. The color palette is kind of blue and gray. You have these houses, sliced up hotel. It's a lot of interiors. Then you have this sort of pretty white couple in their towels, you know, their luxury towels. And then you have a creepy guy in a boiler suit in a factory with one of those crane things over his head, like the hook, and a couple of pool balls, a blue 7 and a black 8, sort of wedged in there. What was Neighbors about?
I live in an apartment building that has over 100 residents, I believe, here in Northwest Portland. And it's high energy, the neighborhood of Nob Hill, and the
high energy?
Yeah, the density level of all the buildings close together. So the more people that you have, the more, you know, that night that I made the collage, the more risk, I guess, like you could say, of things happening that are that could be negative emotions coming through via violence, or, you know, people are watching their televisions and hearing and dealing with their day-to-day stressors as well. So I was just feeling really overwhelmed with, you know, shootings, school shootings, and whatever was going on. I got my paper out and I just started processing through that, and I saw the pool balls first because of the numerology that I'm into. Lucky 7 is a number that was speaking to me, so I started with that. And then the 8 ball, the number 8 to me stands for an infinity symbol. Since I was a kid, I've always been drawn to the number 8. And for other reasons as well, but that density of the inner city with all the construction, that's what the center kind of menacing looking big, mm-hmm. big guy, because what you can't see in the collage that's been pasted over is it's an actual construction site, and there's construction workers kind of looking at this guy. I think maybe you can see them in the corner.
Yeah, there's a lot of steel work.
There's rebar underneath. Yeah. I pulled that rebar on, and that's what I started with after the pool balls. And then the building that says, "Do you like your neighbors?" I know, you know, with the homeless population in Portland and how people have just been struggling trying to wrap their heads around the fact that there are actually people that don't have homes, and then juxtapose with this the fancy hotels that are going up all around the city, who can afford to stay in them? I don't know, but yes, it's kind of a little bit of a piece about classism. And, you know, if you are uncomfortable with, you know, your air conditioning might break down, you know, you're not going to die. You go to a hotel, you know, and there's people that died 2 years ago from the heat wave. So all these kind of things come through when I'm actually cutting mm-hmm. and pasting.
So like Marjorie, this is cathartic for you. You get something off your mind.
Yes.
Do you spend long on one piece?
It kind of depends. Like, I'll get stuck and then I'll just come back to it the next day, because if I get fatigued, then I just because mm-hmm. I have to take care of myself, so that takes
precedence. And is everything unglued? You're moving everything around until you've thought of a place to glue it?
Yeah, I do the designing of it first, and then I take photographs along the way, because there's so many pieces. When I start gluing, that's the hardest part for me, because things will shift or mm-hmm. I won't have them placed. And that's okay, though, because it's hard to glue all these pieces. And I like to have a cohesive, like, transformation, kind of a dynamic feeling to them. If there's movement involved, just, and you can't mess around with your placement when you're trying to have a feeling, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. You should check out the work of Ava Lake. She used to present Art Focus before me. She's a really good collage artist and a painter, but.
Oh, there's so many.
The way you access commercial imagery from magazines, it has an impact, and she works with that too. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you. No, there's many, many collage artists in the city that I've followed on Instagram and made notes of group gatherings, like I participated in a collaborative effort on World Collage Day.
Oh yeah? There's a World Collage Day?
Yeah, there's actually a World Collage Day. It's like May 14th, I think, or the weekend of, you know, Mother's Day weekend is when it was this year.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were painter and gallerist Marjorie Ridgway, who runs Ridgway Studio and Gallery at 1720 Northwest Lovejoy Street, Suite 101, and collage artist Jamie Cathy, whose work is on Up Now for the month of July through July 30th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Andy Moan, now whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
Estás escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 11 de julio del 2023. La temperatura promedio de la superficie del mundo se ha disparado a su nivel más alto jamás registrado, superando los niveles récord de calor medidos solo unos días antes y el día anterior. La serie de días más calurosos de esta semana se produjo cuando los científicos del clima advirtieron el mes pasado que junio era el mes más caluroso jamás registrado. Con el 2023 en camino de convertirse en el año más caluroso en la historia de la humanidad. Mientras tanto, un nuevo informe en la revista Nature Communications advierte que los patrones